Good morning, everybody. And I know this is different for us and different for y'all, but though we're apart, let's worship God together and just be the church, even if we're not in the same building. We're so blessed to be able to meet this way, and we're excited to worship God and trust in Him this morning.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lie, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you've got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker.
We're so glad that you've joined us again on our second Facebook Live service. We're extremely excited that you're here. Hey, if you have any glitches or anything like your camera, your feed messes up, we are playing this service live on the radio on 88.5 JFM. Also, remember, as you're out there, let's participate. I know you're not in the same room with us, but hey, the same way that you interact during the sermon, you can interact online. Leave some comments. Share this feed, especially if you've always had that friend that you've been like scared to invite to church or something like that. This is your moment. Hey, the digital amen is the like, the love, the laugh, the wow. You know, use one of those things and interact with us throughout the service. But we want to remind you that we're just so glad that you're here. Hey, and we're going to start with a scripture, and it's found in Philippians 4:4-9. It's one of my favorite scriptures written by Paul in the midst of a jail cell. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Hey, let's start this service out with some prayer. God, we come to you today. We pray, God, that even from our living rooms, God, that you, our bedrooms, wherever we're at, God, that you would mess us up. God, that your Holy Spirit would come down right now. God, that you would mess us up into a way, God, that we know your presence is there. God, that we know that it just doesn't have to happen in a church building. But God, it happens in our house. It happens with our family. I pray that you would anoint this service, God, that you would anoint the worship in our prayer, in our pastor, God, that your Holy Spirit would fall in such a powerful way, and God, that you would take us to a new level with you, God, that we would not turn this video off without having you change our lives and our hearts. We need you today. Touch us in the midst of the storm around us, God, and use us in such a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen.
My heart is overwhelmed, and I cannot hear your voice. I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. And if the storms of life, they come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. Let's sing that again. My heart is overwhelmed, and I cannot hear your voice. I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. And if the storms of life, they come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. Myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son, and love came down and rescued me, love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. I feel your hands of grace rest. sing out, remind my soul that I am yours. I am forever yours. All my hands have made, I'm laying down. All that I hold dear, my many crowns.
Lay it all before Him this morning.
Tasted and seen of your great love. You satisfy, and you satisfy me. Yes, you do. You satisfy me. Waiting with worship for more.
want these guys to continue playing just a minute, but before I start teaching the word this morning, I just want to talk to you. I know the virus is affecting everyone from the poorest to the most powerful in the world, and some of you are looking into your immediate future, and you've got some genuine concern and maybe uncertainty beginning to build, maybe even turning into fear. And I want you to know several things today. First of all, God is speaking to you. Yeah, in the middle of all this, He's speaking to you. And my prayer for you today is that you'll have ears to hear. And one of the things I believe He wants to say to all of us, if we'll listen, is this: you're not alone. I'm reminded of a scripture that in one of David, the psalmist, one of his most anguishing moments, he wrote these words in Psalm 22:1. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? You may recognize those words. They're the same words Jesus cried out on the cross. And there's a reason for that, because Jesus knows where you're at, no matter what kind of pain this crisis has caused you. Or maybe you were in plenty of pain before it started. I want you to know you're not alone. Jesus has been there, done that, got the scars, regardless of what you're experiencing right now. He knows what you're feeling from the inside out, and He cares. And you see, He prevailed in His most anguishing moment. And because you put your faith in Him, you'll prevail too. You're going to make it through this. The second thing is this: you're also not alone, because there are brothers and sisters in the faith that are praying for you and ready to help you. And if you need help, I just challenge you, call the church phone, 256-582-8509. And the third thing is this: God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means He is still your provider, your protector, your healer. And so I just want you to hear those things with your heart today and understand that He is with you. He is for you and not against you. And He's ready to lead you through this storm, just like He did so many people, so many times. He loves you. So we're going to pray now, and let's ask God to feed our souls. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask You, take the word today, strengthen our souls for the challenge that lies before us. Lord, none of us have ever been down this road before. And Lord, so we need You to guide us. We need You to strengthen us. We need You to assure us. And we know that Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May it be that for us today, as we hear with the ears of the Spirit, let the word produce courage, peace, joy, in the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Several years ago, I was ministering in Kingsport, Tennessee, and I met a man who called himself the man who wouldn't die, or couldn't die. I forget exactly how he put it. It's been a while. But this man had survived a parachute not opening in one of his skydive jumps. He had survived several different kinds of snake bites, an alligator attack, an encounter with a bear, an explosion, and I can't even remember all the things. But he was written up in the local papers as the man who wouldn't die or couldn't die. But you know, that's small peanuts compared to the man who wrote much of the New Testament. His name was Paul. And I just want you to listen for a moment as he catalogs the distresses that he had endured in representing Jesus throughout the Roman Empire. 2 Corinthians 11:24, he says this: five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. You know, after all of that he had experienced, he finds himself in jail, writing to the church at Philippi, awaiting possible execution. And I want to read a familiar passage that we've all heard quoted. If you've been in church very much, you've heard many of the passages I'm going to share with you from the book of Philippians. I just want to put it in context because Paul wrote this from prison or from a jail cell. And I want you to hear what he says. Philippians 4:10. He says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know that what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." How could Paul be content in all of these circumstances that I've just read to you? Really, I want to say it this way. How could Paul rejoice in jail? You know, he was facing possible death. He had been abandoned by some of his closest associates. He saw his enemies trying to undo everything that he had risked his life over and over to accomplish for Jesus. But this whole letter, the letter to the Philippians, just oozes with joy. As a matter of fact, if you go back to verse 1 of chapter 4 from the passage I just read, it starts with this key word, therefore. You know what that really means is, everything I've said before this point in this letter, because of everything I've said, I want to say this now. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back through the letter and I want to look at the roots of why and how Paul could rejoice in jail. How he could be content in the worst of circumstances. Because some of you, you're facing our circumstances today and you're thinking, can it get any worse? And how can I have peace? How can I have joy? How can I use this moment as a reset moment for my life? Paul gives us some clues here. So I want to look at some roots of how he could rejoice in the middle of the jail cell. So let's look at some of those roots. Number one is Paul was a convinced man. He was persuaded of truths that he stood on in the midst of some of the most severe turmoil. And so I want to flip back to another passage where he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12. And he says this, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him until that day." Meaning the day that Christ returns or I go to Jesus. I want you to notice what he says. He knows who he's believed in. Because you see, Paul could rejoice in jail. He could be content in every circumstance because he was a persuaded man. He lived by convictions, not by opinions that he found on Facebook. He lived by convictions and he was persuaded of several things. And I'm going to list three of them for you. Number one, he was persuaded that Christ is life. If you go back to chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 21, simple statement, to live is Christ, to die is gain. We can be content in a crisis. We can rejoice in the proverbial jail with Paul when Christ is our everything. You see, Christ was his everything, and even death could not take that from him. He had discovered something more precious than life, even more precious than pleasant, productive life, the good life. He had found something better than anything this world can afford us. Because of that, he had peace. and he had joy in the midst of a lack of a lot of the things some people think constitutes the good life. I want to read another passage, and it's Philippians 3, 7 through 10. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. He says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ." Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. This is Paul talking in prison, rejoicing in jail, saying, "Listen, the most awesome thing that I can even think of is knowing Jesus and knowing Him better and better, deeper and deeper, more and more profoundly. Even if I lose everything." And he goes on and says, "I've actually lost everything else. All I have is Jesus, and I have discovered He's the grand prize. He's what my heart longs for, what I was created to crave. He's the only one that can satisfy my soul. And nothing in this life, not even death, can take that from me. So I'm good. I can rejoice in every circumstance. I can be content. I can rejoice even in jail." So that's the first thing. See, nothing could threaten his treasure. Not the devil, not people, not catastrophes could take anything from him that was essential to his fulfillment, because Jesus sums all of that up. Paul could also rejoice in jail because he was persuaded that God will finish what he started. We go back to chapter 1 of Philippians. Remember, all these things are what came before. Remember, therefore. So, therefore, he can be content. Why? Because he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, we can be content in crisis. We can rejoice in jail when we're confident he's able and willing to fulfill his plan for our lives, and when we can trust him in the process of fulfilling that plan. He has a plan for your life. He has a great plan. He has a plan for what you'll become, what you'll experience, for what you'll accomplish, who you'll influence, and who you'll impact. And he also has a process to accomplish that plan in you and through you, in me and through me. And I just want to tell you today, as unpleasant as it may be for you, this current crisis is part of His plan. I'm not even saying He caused it. I'm saying He saw it and He was ready for it, and He will use it for your good if you will just trust Him and follow Him, cling to Him. Trust Him. You see, He will use this current crisis to maximum benefit for you and me. I believe that. Even when the process includes some struggles, I just challenge you, make it count. Don't waste this moment. What the enemy means for harm for this nation and this world, God will use for good. Check the story of Joseph out. So I challenge you today, start praying that you will be able to see what God can and desires to do in your life in the middle of this moment. It's reset time for all of us. Don't waste it. And then the third thing, Paul could rejoice in jail because he was persuaded that God will meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. You see, all of these are part of this same little letter to the Philippians from Paul's jail cell. It's just full of rejoicing. It's full of confidence. It's full of peace. It's full of purpose. But he assures them that no matter what kind of conflict or crisis they're in, God is there to meet the needs that they have in their lives. So we can be confident God will meet our needs also. This is why we can be content. This is why we can rejoice in jail, because God will meet our needs. He's faithful. He is faithful. And He meets our needs through prayer and through people. God was Paul's source through both of these avenues. God's the source. When we pray and God meets the need, when people, we pray and God uses people to meet the need, which most often He does. Either way, God is the source. Where God guided, God provided with Paul, and where God guides us, God will provide for us as well. Paul had seen it over and over again, and some of you listening today, you've seen God provide in many crises. This isn't your first rodeo. This isn't the first time you've been around the track. You didn't just fall off the truck. This is another crisis, but you've been here before. Maybe not of this magnitude. Maybe not worldwide crisis. But you've seen God provide. Many of you have. And if you haven't, I want you to know there are other people watching right now. They've been through low places before, and they've cried out to God, and they have seen that He is faithful. And God wants to prove Himself to you in the middle of this crisis or this challenge called Corona. Paul had seen it over and over. Now, I will tell you this. He did not always receive everything he would have preferred. I mean, who wants to go hungry? Who wants to be in the open sea a day and a night? Who wants to be beaten with rods or lashed with cat o' nine tails? Nobody wants those things. But in all of that, Paul had what he needed to continue going forward in his life. And God will do the same thing for you. You know, sometimes we expect God to finance ventures that we never consulted Him about. And then when things start falling apart on us, our faith begins to waver. God, why aren't you helping this work? Why aren't you making this wonderful? But I want you to know, our best attempts at providing for and protecting ourselves are very fragile. Yes, we're responsible. We're responsible to work. We're responsible to look and project into the future. We are responsible for taking care of our families, for providing as best we can. But I want you to know something. The Scripture says it, and I mentioned this last week, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build. Doesn't mean we don't swing the hammer. Doesn't mean we don't work. Doesn't mean that we don't put forth effort. But our trust is in the One who makes our effort effective. He wants to partner with you in this time. As you do the responsible thing, as you work hard, as you try to provide and look out for and protect your family, I want you to know He's working with you. If you will consult Him and cry out to Him, listen, trust, and obey. Lean on Him and not your own understanding, and He will make your path straight, the proverb says. I want to read a quote from Beth Moore, well-known Bible teacher. She says this about this circumstance we're in. Quote, "We find out at times like these how fragile all of our man-made shelters are. Our steel is seen for what it is, candle wax, kept from a flame all alone, only by God's grace. We are as those who huddle beneath palm branches, bracing for a squall. But the Lord regards our humble estate." I want you to know today, God's watching. Nothing escapes His notice. He hears the cry of His children. He's ready to respond to you. I just challenge you today, lean on Him. My prayer for you today is that you would become persuaded that Jesus is that kind of Lord, the One who is better than life itself, the One who will finish the plan that He started, the One who will meet all your needs in this current crisis. I want you to pray with me. But I want to talk first of all to those who might be listening that you really haven't put your trust in Christ. And maybe this crisis is turning your heart and your mind to something bigger than you, because you realize no national leader, no scientist, no economist, no banker, no military leader or army can totally secure what this world needs right now. Maybe this crisis has caused you to realize, to have an aha moment. We're vulnerable. We're mortal. Any number of things could threaten our welfare and our future. And no one person, no group of people can ever have complete control and give us complete assurance our welfare is secured. That is but one, and that's God. If you're coming to one of those moments in your life and your heart is beginning to look upward, your eyes are beginning to turn to the one that made you, the one that created the universe, that spoke it into existence, the one who has controlled human history, the one who cared so much for you and loved you so much that he said, I got to go down there. I got to get among them. I'm going to walk in their shoes. I'm going to feel their pain. I'm going to pay the price for their sin, so that they can be connected to that life that Paul had found in Jesus Christ. He's talking to you today. And if that's you and you have not yet put your trust in Christ, you have not yet confessed, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and I realize that Jesus is it, and I want to invite Him to come in to my life and be my Lord and Master, wash away my sin, give me eternal life, and give me the life that Paul had, the joy that can rejoice in the midst of the worst circumstances. I want that. All you have to do is pray from your heart with faith a prayer like this. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior and You're it. I surrender. I invite You. Take over. I put my life and all that I want, all that I have, all that I've been, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I'm putting every bit of it in Your care and Your control, and I'm asking You, take it. I trust You with all of it. Be my Lord and Savior. Pray a prayer like that. And if you pray that prayer, please contact us and let us know. Please contact us. We want to send you literature. We want to contact you. We want to support you. We want to build you up. Now, for the rest of you, you've already made that kind of commitment. You're trying your best to walk in faith and not fear. Remember, the Holy Spirit wants to persuade you deep, not just in your head. Maybe all your life you've grown up in Sunday school and heard that my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches. You've heard that all your life. But maybe for the first time in your life you've come up against something you have no control over and you feel vulnerable. You feel exposed to threats that you can't control. It's time to take a deep breath and realize Jesus is better than life. He will finish what He started in us and for us and through us, and He will meet your needs. May the Holy Spirit just let that truth explode inside your heart so that you can lay down with peace and proceed forward, leaning on Him and depending on Him. I want you to pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for all of those. They're following You already. But Lord, in their hearts, concern and uncertainty is eating away at their confidence. Restore their confidence. Let them be convinced that You are able to keep that which they commit to You until that day. Lord, may they be persuaded, may we be persuaded like Paul. You are better than life. You will finish what You started in us and for us and through us. And You will supply every need according to the immense wealth that comes in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, You're the only one that can make that happen in our hearts. And we ask You to do it. And expect a change in the level of peace and joy and contentment in the middle of this circumstance today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Seth's going to come. We're going to talk for all of you from Lake City. We just want to give you a little update on what's going on. And so, Pastor Seth, let's just catch everybody up.
All right. So, Pastor, what does the Lake City family need to know about how they can make a difference for the kingdom this next week?
Well, let me say this. First of all, I want you to know that our church leadership is making every effort to bring food to hungry school kids that are not able to be in class and receive the free lunches and breakfast that they've been receiving. We know from experience there are kids in this county that if they don't get those free lunches, they're going to be hungry. This Tuesday, we're going to be cooking hot food and delivering it to some of the kids that we already minister to, where we know where they live, we know they need it, and also probably opening it further up from there. Now, we can only have 10 or less people helping with this, and we've already got several that are involved. So the main thing you can do is pray for this outreach, pray for those kids that are suffering because of this crisis. And if you want to donate money, you can do that to help pay for these endeavors. Until the governor does a stay-at-home order, we plan to continuing to help feed hungry people. On Thursday, we don't know the location yet. We're going to be giving out groceries. We are teaming up with some other churches. We're in contact with schools. We're trying not to double up on a time or a place or a certain group of people. We just want to help people. So that's one of the things they can do is pray and they can donate. And if you really feel like God wants you to be a part of this, call the church office tomorrow and we'll tell you if we've got enough slots for you to help with either one of these feedings. And then tomorrow morning at 10:30, Cheryl Woodrow, our children's pastor, she's going to be having content online on Facebook. And also our denomination has challenged us to pray together tomorrow, to fast and pray for God to do what He needs to do in this crisis and stop this crisis. So I'm going to be praying at noon tomorrow. I just challenge you, take a few minutes out of your lunchtime, whether you're at home or still at work, just pray that God would use this moment to turn people's hearts to Him, that God would save lives, would stop the virus, would continue uniting our country, because a lot of good stuff's coming out of this. So those are some things that they can do. And then on Tuesday, just give you the schedule. Tuesday, I'll be doing a live update on Facebook at 1 o'clock, just about what's going on and prayer requests and different things, information. And of course, then Wednesday, we'll have our regular slate, Bible study at 6:30, youth, I think at 4 o'clock, and on we go. And so, you know, one of the things that people need to remember, we're trying not to harp on this, but we do need your financial support. And you can go to our website and click on the donate tab and go through PayPal, or you can send a check in, or you can come by the office and drop off a check or cash. Just call, because we're keeping the doors locked. A few of us are still here. So those are some things they can do.
All right. I think that covers the individual thing also.
Well, so, yeah, it really.
Is there anything you want to add to the what can individuals
do? Well, let me just challenge all of you. Don't waste this moment.
Right.
Find creative ways to mix with your family and create some special moments. I said this last week, I'll keep saying it. There will come a time this will be over.
Right.
And I can promise you, parents, your children are going to look back and they're going to tell tales about the coronavirus pandemic and how your family weathered it. I just challenge you, make your home a worship center. You know, if you've never done it, literally sit down and pray with your children and your family, your spouse. Create a prayer list. Call people that you think might need some help. Just call people you know and just see if they're okay. Go to your next door neighbor, particularly if they're in the older category or at risk category. I'm telling you, don't waste the moment, but find a way, but develop a prayer list. Share ideas with people. Some parents are not used to having all their kids at home. Share ideas. If you can think of one that is in that category, they work outside the home. Now they're at home and the kids are at home. Share ideas with them.
Yeah. Lake City, we are so glad that you joined us again this week. We're so glad you joined this broadcast, heard the amazing worship, I thought it was, and the incredible preaching. We hope to see you at all of the extra things that we do throughout the week,
amen,
either children's, youth, our main service. We love you guys. We can't wait to be back with you, and we'll see you next week.